Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Lamentations this morning. Lamentations chapter 3. And in fact, we were in this very passage almost a year ago today. I was just looking back and thinking about where we had been over this past year. And we began this year in the book of Lamentations. And little did I know at the time just how important not only that book, but this passage in particular would be for me in the coming days and year. But of course, God already knew, didn't he? God knew what 2020 would bring for us. Certainly, I was surprised. We were surprised. God was not surprised. My plans changed dramatically. God's plans did not change. And so as we look back on this past year, as we look forward to this year to come, I want to revisit this passage, Lamentations chapter 3, with you again, because these are words for weary and anxious souls. These are words which point us to the grace and the hope that God would offer to us, words when we stand at an unknown future, words for us today. You know, God is good to give us cycles of life. I don't know if you think about these things, but for me, I'm often glad when I can lay my head on the pillow at the end of a weary day and know tomorrow is a new day. I don't always think that, but there's many days that I do. And maybe because maybe I've blown it that day. Maybe it's been an awful day, a terrible day. Maybe it's been my sin, or maybe it's been somebody else's sin, or maybe it's just been stuff has not gone right. But at the end of the day, I lay my head down on the pillow, and I think, tomorrow is a new day. I'm thankful for that. God gives us these cycles of days, work and rest. God gives us cycles of a week. God has ordered our time such that we have these designations of time called a week, from week to week to week. And I look forward to new weeks. And maybe it's because it's been a crazy week. Maybe it's been busy. Maybe I'm weary. Maybe I didn't accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish at work or at home. But when I get to Sunday, Sunday invites me into a new week. Sunday invites me to come and walk with the Lord again for a new week, a fresh week with Him. I love these things. I love these cycles and the newness that comes with them. And of course, there are months, there are seasons that change. But there is something important about a newness of a year, at least to me. At the beginning of a year is always this opportunity. This opportunity to look back. And as we look back, we can rejoice, we can give thanks in what God has done over this past year. Now, this is not the message you're going to get in the media today, right? And the popular message of culture is, it's been a horrible year. There's nothing to give thanks for over the past year. But we are Christians. And we believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is in control, and God has been orchestrating things, and God is still at work. And so when that is true, we can always look back and we can always give thanks for what God has done in the past year. But it's also an opportunity for us to repent. It is an opportunity for us to confess our sins that have marked our lives over the past year. So sometimes we just have to acknowledge our failures and our struggles with God as we look back. So we look back, but we also look forward, don't we? And we look forward to the newness of a year, and we look forward with faith. We look forward with hope. We look forward with expectation, because last year, that's last year now, isn't it? And this is a new year. This is a new day. This is a new week. And this is a new year to us. And it is time for us to refocus our priorities. It is time for us to recommit to the Lord and His spiritual work in our lives. And so we can look forward. What if we didn't experience these cycles in our life? What if our lives were just this never-ending stream of just activity or inactivity, you know, depending on where you're at? What if you didn't have evenings and mornings? What if you didn't have weekend and work week? What if you didn't have the changing of seasons, the changing of years? Well, that is the experience of some who have been locked up in prisons without windows, without walls, without knowing the passing of time in their lives. And you know, the result of that is either you go mad or you despair of life. But you see, that is not our experience today. Today is a new time for us to remember the grace and the mercy of God that is for us today at the beginning of this year. And so what is going to come in this coming year? What is this year going to be for us? I don't know. None of us know, but this we can be sure of. God is faithful. God will be with us. Grace and mercy is for us, and it is available in this year. And God is sufficient. You understand, God is sufficient for us come what may. That's the point of Lamentations 3. So let's look at these hope-filled verses together. Lamentations 3, starting in verse 21. If you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. Listen to what God would speak to us today. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these words, we have hope-filled words spoken long ago, but still spoken to us today through your word. Thank you for the treasure that is your word. Thank you for the promises, the truth. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us in these words. And when we come to see you, you are lovely. You are glorious. You are great. You are not like us. You are not like what we have learned to, how we've learned to treat one another. But here we find a steadfast love that we have never experienced from one another in this life that never ceases. It comes from you, O God. And so, Lord, would you fill our empty cup today with the mercy and grace you have for us from these words. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, no doubt these verses are familiar to many of you today. We like these verses. We like to print these verses and frame them and put them on our wall at home. Not a bad thing. These are verses we quote often. These are verses we sing together, just as we did this morning. These are some of the great verses of the Bible. But you know, this is not meant to be an abstract theological truth, like something we would study for a test. No, here is a man who is speaking from the deep longing of his heart, a longing for God and the things of God in his life in the midst of what is the worst possible circumstances. In fact, the book of Lamentations is a book that, well, many of us can relate to today. The writer, who is probably Jeremiah, has just experienced the worst year of his life. The worst year of his life. He had to live with people who were struggling constantly over that year with anxiety and fear of an invading army that was camped outside their city walls. He watched people starve to death around him while that same army held them hostage in their city for that year. He witnessed the slaughter of people he knew, men, women, and children, when Nebuchadnezzar's army finally broke through the wall. And few people were spared. But Jeremiah was one of them. But he would not be spared the memory and the horror and the grief of what must have been the worst year of his life. And the book of Lamentations, if you remember from our study, is the book of his grief over the past events of the year. But before you get to, if you get to here in Lamentations 3, you've got to wade through what is the rubble, what is the ruin, what is the pain of the first 3.5 chapters of this book of Lamentations. Verses we didn't read this morning, but you only need to just look back and scan over these verses and these chapters, and you will see these are words of darkness. These are words of pain. These are words of struggle leading up to this, what is this tremendous passage of faith that we read this morning. Just listen to some of the key words from the first 20 verses of chapter 3 this morning. This is the context of this passage. If you look over these first 20 verses, these are the words you see: affliction, darkness, wrath, waste, broken, besieged, bitterness, tribulation, darkness, heavy chains, no escape, shut out, blocked, crooked, torn to pieces, desolate, wounds, enemies, taunts, bitterness, the grinding of teeth, and the absence of peace and happiness. I mean, that's the words he used to characterize the last year of his life in those first 20 verses. And so in these words, it's just simply the pouring out of his heart unto God. But these are words of struggle. These are words of complaint. These are words of a wrestling with God and an asking of why. But in this comes this longing for hope, a looking for God in the midst of troubled times. So what do we do? You know, what do we do when we have a troubled past year? Where do we go from here? This is one of the reasons we have the book of Lamentations. It grieves, it weeps, it expresses frustration at the fallenness and the evil of this world and the circumstances of our own broken lives. But listen, it doesn't stay there. I mean, we have a tendency to want to stay there in our pity and in our grief, but he refuses to stay there. And so in these verses that we read, you see here, this is the key to the heart of the book of Lamentations. When he looks at his past grief and his past trouble, there is another story that is unfolding. There is another story that is evident in the story of his past grief, and it is the story of God's goodness and God's mercy. It is the truth of a never-failing, ever-faithful God who has not left us. And so that's what you hear in this passage, isn't it? In Lamentations 3, there is the glimmer of hope here, and the hope is found at the very heart and the very center of this book called Lamentations, this book of grief. At the very middle, at the very center, you find these verses, but it's not just the center of the book. It is the mountaintop. It is the pinnacle of the story. And so the author, he grieves the past, but he doesn't stay there. When the world falls apart, there is only one place that is safe: in the arms of a sovereign and loving God. That is the only refuge to our souls. And that's where he runs. And this hope, it is rooted and it grows from the broken places of our lives. When our lives are broken, this is our hope. When our dreams are dashed, this is our hope. When our desires go unfulfilled, this is our hope. Hope in a good and a gracious and a faithful God in the midst of the ruins of life. You see, it's become the mantra. It is the consensus that 2020 was a terrible year. It is one of the worst years we've seen in our lifetime. We've been locked up. We've been separated from one another for much of the year. We've had to wrestle with fear and anxiety. We've watched loved ones who've gotten sick. Some of them have died. Businesses have closed for good. Plans have been canceled. And it's been wave after wave of bad news, hasn't it? Will this year be better? I don't know. It's not looking better yet, is it? But I know the God who's still in control. I know his promises. I know his truth. I know his goodness. I know him. Because I have passages like this in the Bible, and it makes all the difference in the world. It changes how you view the last year, and it changes how you are to view this coming year. There is hope. And hope is what the world needs. And this is the hope we have for 2021. Not hope that a virus goes away. Not hope that our scientists and doctors can somehow save us. Not hope that we can fix everything. Not a hope of economic recovery by stimulus checks. Not hope of a political savior, but hope that comes from the knowledge of who God is. You see, when the world falls apart, we need to know that there is a God that never fails. We need to know that God is with us. We need to know that God is for us. And so these words are meant for us today. You see, real and sustainable hope, it doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from our feelings either. But real and sustainable hope, it springs out of this bedrock, this truth that doesn't change, a truth about who God is that we can hold on to. That's what this passage is all about. And so he begins. He begins verse 21. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. He says, listen, I need truth. I need to remember something that is true in this moment. And so you hear in these words, there is an active pursuit of hope. I mean, he's not just passively sitting back saying, well, I'm just waiting for the feeling to come. I'm just waiting for things to change. I'm waiting for better circumstances. I'm waiting for things to be better in the coming. Then it'll be better. There's no guarantee. And so here in his circumstances, he pursues a hope that can carry him through. And so he engages his mind and he says, this is what I know about God. Now we may not know why we suffer. We may not know why 2020 was a terrible year. We may not know the meaning and the purpose of our present circumstances. We're not told those things. Because we are not meant to be in charge. We are meant to know the God who is. You know, in the book of Job, Job wrestled with this, didn't he? Job had the same questions. Why the suffering? Why? Why me? Why a terrible year? Why have I lost everything? You know, in the final chapters of the book of Job, God shows up and he answers Job. But it's not the answer that Job nor we expect. God doesn't answer all of our questions. But God shows up and he proclaims to Job, this is who I am. This is what you need to know. Who I am, Job. And so this is the most important thing we need for this coming year, is this truth about who God is. And that is what he meditates on in these verses. So look at what he says. He says, we need to know the steadfast love of the Lord. We need to know that God really does love us, that God really is for us. And in the midst of our circumstances, we often wonder, does God really care? Is he really a God of love? Because I'm in these circumstances and it doesn't always feel like it. You know, we don't have to wonder those things. Because the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases, not for one second. I love that word steadfast, like an anchor to a ship. Because my love is not like that. My love is often fickle. My love often depends on my feelings, it depends on my circumstances, and it changes from day to day. But listen, God's love is not like that. God's not in one of those moods today. God is not having a bad day and just taking it out on you. God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his love. He is committed. He is unwavering in his love, and it never runs out. Never failing, never ending. And so whatever this is that we find ourselves in, whatever my circumstances, whatever the day, whatever the week, whatever the year, it must come through the loving hands of my Heavenly Father. That's what I believe. The Father who loves, who cares for me more than I can know. And I know it doesn't always feel that way because we don't understand everything, but we can know it to be true. Regardless of our feelings, we can know it to be true. You see, if you know God, then you know that He is for you. That He's for you. And so this is what He has to remember here. But he also thinks not only of the loving kindness, the steadfast love of the Lord, he also remembers God's mercies. God's mercies. And I think it's significant here that he speaks not just of the mercy of God, and we speak of the mercy of God, and it's appropriately so. But here he is talking about the mercies of God, the manifold mercies of God, the abundant mercies of God, the continual mercies of God. You see, this is not just a single transaction of the mercy of God. This is ongoing. This is the outpouring of God continually upon us. And so you see what he says. His mercies never come to an end. And that's good news, isn't it? Because if you're like me, you come back to mercy again and again. Because so often the troubles that I have to endure are the troubles that are the result of my own sin. And if God's mercy had a limit, you understand, if God's mercy had a limit, and if we were only allotted so much mercy, I would have exhausted it probably long ago. You know, if we're honest, and we think back this past year, and we remember these things, and we remember the struggles and the sins that have marked our lives over this past year. These words are precious. His mercies never come to an end. They cannot be exhausted. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. And so when we remember these things, we remember the tragedy of our own sin. And isn't that the greatest tragedy of the past year? The greatest tragedy and threat to us was not a novel coronavirus. It was our own sin and our own hearts. But because of the never-ending mercy of God to those who are in Christ, we can say with Paul in Philippians 3, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on with Christ. Why? Because his mercy is abundant. His mercy is never ending. God has not left us, not for a moment. Because the mercy of God, it forgives and it bids us to come one day at a time. And you see that here, don't you? One day at a time. His mercies, they are, you see what he says, new every morning. They're new every morning. I love the hopefulness of that phrase because the day may be filled with trouble. And we may fear tomorrow. And we may endure a sleepless night as we toss and turn. But God's mercy is still there in the morning. We can count on it. Every morning, there is God, there is his mercy, and it is inexhaustible to us. And in this, we can know that God will give us exactly what we need for that day. Each and every day, when we depend on him, we have all that we need in God. And this is the very thing that Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. I will take care of today, today. I will take care of tomorrow, tomorrow. You can trust me. Because sufficient is the grace and the mercy of God in the circumstances that he allows for that day. So whatever we face in the day is the circumstances that God allows for that day. And in that, God's grace and mercy are sufficient for our every need. And you can count on it because God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, his hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness to me. Meaning you can trust his word. Meaning you can trust his hand when you don't understand. You can trust his faithfulness because he never changes. His promises cannot fail. His love cannot cease. His mercy cannot be forfeited. And if this was true about God, and if this is true about God, then our greatest hope in this coming year is that God is our portion. That's what he says, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. If I'm going to have hope, it's because God is my portion. You see, our portion is what is allotted to us. It is what's given to us. It is our inheritance. It is our treasure. It is our reward. You see, you can pursue happiness in a lot of different ways. Maybe this past year you pursued happiness in worldly things and you found that it was empty. Maybe. Maybe you continue to pursue your own happiness in this coming year as you've made resolutions to lose weight and exercise more. Which are not bad things. But happiness is not found in them. Instead, as Matthew Henry says, God is the all-sufficient happiness of his people. And this is what the author means when he says, the Lord is my portion. And if the Lord is your portion, then your happiness is not dependent upon your health. It is not dependent upon your attractiveness or your achievement or your comfort or your job or the respect of others or anything else in this world. But your hope and your happiness is dependent upon this. Your relationship with the Lord your God, his love and his mercies, and his loving kindness and his faithfulness. I think Jeremiah, whoever wrote the book of Lamentations, was specifically remembering something God had said about himself a long time before, Jeremiah. In these words are the echoes of the very words of God himself, words that God spoke to Moses on the mountain about his glory. And there was Moses hidden in the cleft of the rock, and God would reveal himself to Moses, and God would say to Moses, Moses, this is who I am. I am slow to anger. I am abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You hear the echo of those words? I am the God who is slow to anger because I am abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And he goes on to say, I am forgiving of iniquity and transgression and sin. This is what God says about himself. This is God's glory. And I think that's what he's calling to mind here when he says, this is what I call to mind. He's preaching to himself who God is. But you see, if this is what was true of God, in the time of Moses, in the time of Jeremiah, this is what is true of God still today. Because God has not changed. Years come and go, generations come and go, but God is still the same, you see. So regardless of what lies behind and regardless of what is ahead, we can count on these things. We can count on steadfast love. We can count on mercy. We can count on faithfulness with God. In a word, we can count with hope on the grace of God in a new year. We're a fragile people. We think we're strong. We think we're smart. We think we can take care of ourselves. We are not, and we cannot. And this past year, if it's shown us anything, it shows us this. We are easily shaken. But God will not be shaken. God will endure. God will be faithful. How can we be sure? Because the proof of his steadfast love and his mercy and the faithfulness of God to us is undeniably in the person of Jesus Christ. That's how we know. You see, at Christmas we celebrated that God would give us his son Jesus to live and to die for us. And it's the cross that proves the steadfast love of the Lord for us, regardless of our present circumstances. We only look back to the cross. The cross pours out grace and mercy regardless of how we feel. The cross preaches the faithfulness of God regardless of our present circumstances. You see, there is hope in something greater than our circumstances and what we feel. There is hope in an everlasting God that we can know today. But this hope comes through the person of Jesus Christ. How do you know this God? It is only through his son, Jesus. So what the broken world needs is Jesus in 2021. What our troubled hearts need is Jesus in 2021. And so don't miss this. Sure. Eat better, exercise more, learn a hobby, spend more time with family. Those are all good things. But listen, true and lasting happiness depends upon your relationship with God through Christ in this year. So what's going to matter in this year was the Lord your portion? Did you receive and did you rest in the hope and the grace of God that he has for you every single day? Did you remember God through every day, every week, every circumstance? Did you honor him? Did you trust him? Did you walk with him? Did you know his steadfast love? Did you receive his mercy? Did you walk with him in the newness of it every day? And that doesn't just happen. It happens when we choose to walk by the Holy Spirit of God every day. It happens when we sit and we listen to God in his word. It happens when we spend time with the Lord in prayer. It happens when we pursue God as our treasure. When we make him above all else in our life. Isn't that what the confession of these words are? The longing of the heart that is behind these words? You know, as a pastor, sometimes you come and you preach a passage, and as you preach a passage, you spend much of your time explaining a passage and what does this mean and how does this apply to us. And sometimes you come to a passage that's just so simple and so direct that it preaches itself. This is one of those passages. I mean, it's almost like I could have stood up here, I could have read this passage to you, I could have closed my Bible, and we could have prayed and gone home. Except that the Bible is like a good marinade. And we just need to soak in it for it to penetrate our lives. And so I'm saying no more than just what this passage here says, but I hope we're just sitting here and we're just marinating in it. So it's soaking into us what it says here to make it our own. You know, last year was last year. And as many people have said, good riddance to last year. But come what may in this coming year, let's make it a point to wake up every day with this truth. May this be the truth that animates us, that gets us out of bed, that moves us forward, that gives us joy and hope. Let's memorize, let's rehearse these words that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That his mercy, it never comes to an end. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to us. And so may the Lord be my portion. May the Lord be my hope today. This is what we need. You bow your heads. Do you know God's steadfast love, his mercy, his sovereignty, his wisdom, his goodness, his provision, his faithfulness, his power? Do you know the Lord? Do you know that he is Lord? Do you know that he was Lord in 2020? Do you know that he will be Lord in 2021, come what may? Will you preach this truth to yourself? Will you depend upon the Spirit? Because it matters what we believe about God. Our hope and our joy are dependent on it. Will you trust the Lord today? Will you wait for his mercies tomorrow without fear? You can. Because this is the God we know. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time of just response, as we think about you, the God who is, the God who has revealed yourself to us in these precious words, we pray that these words would bear fruit in our lives. That we would be able to walk out of here today, this week, with a sense of hope and joy and purpose, because we know you. And Lord, if there is anyone here who doesn't know you, who doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, who isn't by faith belong to him, we pray for the miracle of conversion. That by your Holy Spirit, you would bring about new life for those who are dead, that they would come alive today by faith and receive your grace and mercy. And you'd pour out the truth of these words upon them. May we receive the glory and the truth of these words today. In Jesus' name.